Hello, and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
All right. I love marriage GPS. I want one of those. This last week, I was in L.A. For a conference with a whole bunch of church planters, which was a great deal of fun. And one day at lunch, a couple guys said, "Hey, there's this little place by the beach," and you got me. That's little place, beach, whoa. And so a whole bunch of us are piling into a bunch of cars. We're heading down to the little place by the beach, and I jump into a car, and the guy who's driving, he had rented a car, and he types in the address on his iPhone, and he puts the GPS on, and it's telling us where to turn. And we're talking, we're having fun, but I'm kind of noticing, hey, I think this is the wrong way, but the GPS is saying turn left here and whatever, and we're going along. And then we go on to this, into this cove type of thing, and we go on to an island. And I'm like, I think this is really the wrong way. I don't think this is right. What's it doing? And then we get in line for a ferry. The cargo on the ferry, you know, and I look, and the prices are in really small print, but the thing that we do see is three cars per ferry, and we're like sixth in line. And I'm like, no, this isn't right. So I pull out my Android phone, and I type in the address, and it says, yeah, go way around over here. You made a wrong turn. And so I'm telling this, and we decide, okay, we can't do that. We turn around, and as we're turning around, the iPhone starts yelling at us, "Recomputing, turn around and go the other way. Recomputing, make a U-turn as much as as quickly as possible. Recomputing, I want to go on the boat." You know, this thing just wanted to go on the boat. And you know, that's as we look at marriage GPS, we tend to do that, right? We want to go the way we want to go, not necessarily the right way to go. You know, a lot of people say, and I think it's true in marriage as well, you know, I just trust my gut. And what's my gut telling me? And you know, of the internal organs, you know, why do we trust that one so much? You know, on one hand, a lot of people say I trust my heart, but you know, if you think about your heart, it's very consistent. You know, it's just one decision, right? And so you know, that might be good. You know, very consistent. That's good. But why do we trust our gut? You know. Let's look at the history of the decision-making of our gut. You know, you go out to eat and you think, your gut says, I really want this. That is red velvet cheesecake at the Cheesecake Factory, right? And you're going, yeah, that's your gut is saying, that's what you want. Little did you know... until afterward, and you started doing a little comparison, that the calorie count of this thing is worth 3 double cheeseburgers. And that's after dinner, right? Right? You have dinner, and you know your brain would never go, boy, that was a really good filling dinner. Would be just hit the spot right now. 3 double cheeseburgers. That was what I did. And a bag of Skittles. So it's 3 double cheeseburgers and a bag of Skittles. I just ruined cheesecake for you forever, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, we trust our gut, and really, is that the right place to go? Well, I want to, as we look into the words of Jesus, as we continue the series, the two shall be made one. One, coming up next month, we're going to be starting a series called Experiencing God. And we've been in this series, The Two Shall Become One. In the first one, we looked at the vow of priority, that after Christ, you are my priority. And then last week, we looked at the vow of pursuit, and that I will pursue you always. Next week, we're going to look at the vow of purpose. And this week, we're looking at the vow of partnership. In the vow of partnership, we make this promise. We say, I promise that our marriage will be about we. Not about me. It's we, not me. And that is an incredibly important distinction. We're heading toward Matthew chapter 19. And before we get there, before I get there, have you noticed that You know, when relationship starts, opposites attract, right? And then later, opposites attack, right? It turns it's attract to attack, you know. And it's like in the beginning, it's like, you know, I've never met someone like you. And then fast forward a few years, and it's like, you know, you are a complete weirdo, right? It's the same thing you're saying, but there's a piece to this. Opposites attract, and it's true. God brings opposites together, and that can have many different forms. We can be the type of person that, hey, I want to get to the appointment early. If I'm 10 minutes early, I'm 5 minutes late kind of person, right? You've met those kind of people. And then, if I get there, I get there. You know, opposites attract. And there's the early bird and the night owl. You know, my brain starts dialing off at about 9 o'clock. By 10 o'clock, it's don't ask me questions because I'm there. I'm done. But in the morning, it's hi, you know. There are other opposites. You know, there usually in a marriage, there's a spender and there's a saver, right? That's usually part of the marriage deal. And then there's the person who alone means a peaceful sanctuary. And the other person alone is a torturous dungeon. You've had a bad day and you want to go see people? You know, it's just, that's just part of the opposites. And opposites attract. In real life, that opposites attract sometimes turns into attack. And in this, we see that sometimes opposites complete one another, and then other times opposites compete with one another. So let's take a closer look at this. There are opposites in two-ness. We've been talking about that. But also opposites in oneness. Opposites in two-ness is going two different ways, and opposites in oneness. Our text, our main text that we've been looking at through this whole series is found in Matthew chapter 19. And starting at verse 3, and we've been picking up some key words in this, which is Jesus' defense, I think, against divorce. But Matthew 19, starting at verse 3, some Pharisees came to him to test him and asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "that in the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his mother and father and be united with his wife, and the two shall become one,'" that's our key word, "one flesh. For they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." So here we are, and our key word for today is one. No longer two, but one. And that is this vow of, it's not about me, it's about we. No longer two, but one. This text, Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament, right from early in the creation story in Genesis chapter 2. And this text that we read, it's right there, he's quoting it. Genesis 2:24 says, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and they will become one," or one flesh. The Hebrew word there in Genesis is ichad, and it's got a nice little guttural in the middle of it, so it means you got a clear throat in the middle of the word ichad. So ichad means one. Not just, though, the number one, but it's united, all together, completely joined as one. It's really, truly we. It's togetherness. And here, what God has brought one, they're no longer two, they are one. It's no longer two me's, it's one we. Ecclesiastes, this is a verse we often read in weddings, Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, "A cord of three strands cannot be quickly broken." And that is a great illustration of Christ binding us together. Imagine yourself in a three-legged race with your spouse, right? You've got a cord tying your legs together, and You know, it feels a lot like real life, doesn't it? Because when you're going the same direction, when you're heading the same way, when it's we, it works, right? You got the stride down, you got the direction down, you got the speed down, we're going, we're winning the race. But when we decide, hey, we're going to do things differently, go different ways, we begin to compete with one another, right? I want to go this way, you want to go that way, and it's not working. And the cord of three strands brings us to this we. That when we're together, when we're heading the same direction, we're heading the same speed, we got the same stride, it's beautiful and it works. And that's that compete or complete me. God does put opposites together. And sometimes those opposites are really hard. And sometimes it's just, you know, people being people. But there is a complete, you complete me type of element here in this in marriage. I promise in our marriage will be about we, not about me. Marriage is a covenant, not a contract. And that's an important piece as we look at the two will become one. They're no longer two, they are one. Because in a contract, you're always two, right? You're always two. A contract is based on mutual distrust. That's what a contract does. You do this, and I'll do that. And if something's not done right, then we have a means to get out of the contract, right? In the real estate world, there's a saying that that in the Midwest, the purchase agreements are the smallest. But as you go towards the coast, they get longer and longer and longer. And so if you're ever in a California real estate transaction, you got this gigantic stack of papers going on because the contract is really based on mistrust. What happens if this doesn't work? That's not what marriage is about. You do this, I'll do that. And if you don't do this, then we have this mitigation circumstance or this happen. A contract just needs one person to get out of it, right? Don't do this or I'm going to break the contract. One person, you're out. What's interesting about this, there's a text in Malachi 2:14. This is one that we probably don't hear a lot about, but the people are asking God, why aren't you answering our prayers, God? And this word comes back through the prophet Malachi, and it says, because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Wow. There's a breaking of the covenant. The one is two. And because you have broken the covenant, your prayers aren't being answered. You're not following covenant. You're in contract. And it's not working spiritually, and it's not working at home. Luke 11:17-18, another famous text, says, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and the house divided against itself and will fall. All of that comes to when we live in contract, it's difficult. It's two me's trying to get it to work. Marriage is a covenant. It's a we. It's a one. Contract is protecting me if you don't do what I want. One person can break it. Marriage, though, is a covenant. And covenant is based not on mutual distrust, but on mutual commitment. Mutual commitment to one another. A covenant is unending. A covenant can be maintained by one person. One person in a covenant can make it work. And, you know, you may not be terribly committed to this right now, but I'm all in. I'm committed. And a covenant can be maintained by one person. Of course, it's best when it's two. It's mutual commitment. But one person can maintain it. It takes two to get out. We make this vow for better or worse, for richer or poorer, sickness and health. Before God, I commit to you. There is no back door in that, right? No matter what, we're together. Mutual commitment. Billy Graham, his wife Ruth, was asked a question, and her answer was this. She asked a question about marriage. You know, Billy's traveling a lot in the early days, not so much anymore, of course, but he was traveling a lot and so forth, and the porters asked, they're doing an interview, and asked her a question about marriage, and here's her answer. She said, "Never one day in my life have I thought about divorcing Billy. I have thought about murdering him on several occasions." And so you see here this idea that it's no longer me or two me's, it's one we. The two are made one. What's interesting is we use this word covenant with marriage. It's rather unique to use it with marriage. Throughout the Old Testament, we see the word covenant used several times. And one of the things we see often, if not always, is that it is accompanied by blood. And interestingly, in that time, the marriage covenant was accompanied by blood as well. In the marriage ceremony, the ancient marriage ceremony, the priest would take a small knife in the middle of the ceremony and cut the hand of the bride and the groom, join their hands together, and tie a bind around their hands to let the blood mingle. And then he would pronounce, "Echad, one." They are one. This, even though I'm really glad that the knife is not involved anymore in the ceremonies, but this is a powerful illustration of what God intended. We are one. We are connected by blood now. We are one. I promise that our marriage will be about we, not about me. There's a lot of get-tos in we, not have-tos. But we get to do a lot of great things. This week, as I mentioned, we were in L.A. at this conference. And after the conference, it's kind of late, but one of the guys said to me, "Hey, Jeff, let me go show you around a little bit." I didn't know anything about it. So he takes me down Hollywood Boulevard, and we look at, oh, look, that's where they tape this show, and that's where they do this show. It's quite the sight down Hollywood Boulevard. And then we turned around, went through Sunset, and then we went around and we went back through Rodeo Drive, and oh, man. And then he pulls in to the Beverly Hills Hotel. You've seen it on TV, the Beverly Hills Hotel. And there's a whole bunch of people coming out, just swank. And he's like, "Let's go in." I'm like, "Great, Jeff and Shane are going to crash a wedding now," or whatever they're doing. And he's like, "Let's go." And I'm like, "Okay, let's go." And so we go in, and there's a little restaurant there, and with some really great jazz playing. And we just sit down, and we're talking, and we have an appetizer and so forth. And we're talking, and of course, being two church planters, the waitress cannot get away from us because we're just asking questions, engaging her in conversation and so forth. And we're talking to her, and we're talking about that she used to be an actress, and she did that. We're just getting the whole life story. And she says, "You know, I don't think I'm ever going to get married." So we're talking about this. She was, "I've just never seen it work. It's always a mess. I don't think I'll ever get married." And so I'm hearing her story, and I said, "Heather, come here." And I pull out my iPhone, and I put up this family picture here on my phone. And I said, "Here, look at this. This is my family and our favorites." I said, "There's my son Zach, and his favorite is a pizza box and a physics book. And there's Josiah, his favorite is a guitar. And there's Matthew, his favorite at the time was Bakugan, which is Japanese for American kids will buy anything. And then there's Elijah, who at the time his favorite was Thomas the Tank Engine. And here's my wife, and her favorite is coffee, and my favorite is her." And I said, "You know, we're newlyweds. We've only been married 25 years, and it is really good." And I talked to her a little bit about it, and she paused just kind of to gather herself. And it kind of came an uncomfortably long pause as I looked at her. She goes, "I want that." I want that. And then I talked to her. I said, you know, on our own, we couldn't do this. There's just no way. This is by Jesus. And we didn't have a lot of time for me to really witness to her like I would have liked to in another moment. But you know what I discovered in this is that I have a whole nother motivator. I'm not someone that's terribly motivated by what's best for me. That's generally not my primary motivator. You know, a really powerful motivator to me is what's best for Michelle. That one's really my wife. That's a powerful motivator. But if it can be a witness to Jesus Christ and his changing power, life-changing power, oh, wow. That just motivates me beyond no end. And now I left there changed because I'm like, this has got to even be better because Jesus, I want you in my marriage more and more because your word says that marriage reflects Christ's relationship to the church. And I just saw that today. I just saw that today that this touched somebody and I want that more. There's some get-tos with we. One of the things I'm typing along, I'll miss type half the words. And one of the ones that I mistype a lot is united. I'll type united and I'll look. And what's unfortunate about it is the spell checker misses it. There's one little difference. United becomes untied. And the difference between united and untied is the placement of the I. That is part of the we of marriage. We can go from united to untied by where we put the I. When it's we, the two are made one. They're no longer two, they're one. It's united. When the I is out of place, it's untied. We, the get-to here, is that we get to be we. We get to be united. And that's an amazing place to be when we're there. We get to expand our circle. You know, every one of us are born with a little circle right around our feet. And this is what we care about right here. It's all about me. We're born that way. No one has to teach us that part. It's all about me, right? And we expand our circle to say it's about we. That's a get to. That's a joy and a pleasure and a wonder. Even if there is fault on the other side, I'm going to fight for we. We get to fight for we. We get to do all we can for we. Some time ago, Michelle and I were very human. We had a big fight. It was a nasty one. And what's interesting is as I'm remembering this moment, I have no idea what the fight was about. Isn't that telling? Man, I was ticked and hurt and mad and, you know, just upset. I have no idea what it was about when I remember back on it. I don't remember. And I think that's really telling. But in that time, I'm just going to be real honest here with my emotions. In that time that I was upset and I was hurt and I was just, I started having a conversation with myself and I just said, you know, I had to pull back. I can't invest my heart this much and have it hurt. I got to pull back. And, you know, I got to limit myself here. I can't do this because this hurts. And I remember thinking about that, and I'm processing this throughout the course of the day. And I was like, oh, that's what I got to do. I got to pull back. I can't invest so much of my heart into this because I get so hurt. And what I found is that it was a period of about an hour, and I'm like, I can't do that. I'm all in. And one of the thing that got me into that, the issue was still there. I don't even remember what the issue was, but I was just like, I can't do that. And the thing that got me was I began to visualize love. And I looked at it and I thought of my emotion of love as filling a bucket. Now, some people have you know, a freight train. And some people have a thimble. I have a bucket. And it's all my love. And I realized something, that all the emotion of love, all my heart, I made a vow and a decision a long time ago that this doesn't belong to me. This belongs to her. Now, I may not like her very much at that moment, but I can't pull this back. It's not mine. It's not mine. It's hers. All of my emotion belongs to her. That really helped me, and it's helped me since, to just remember that love is hers. There are times when I don't really like her that much, but all my love belongs to her. It's not mine anymore. The decision's been made. It's been given away. It's done. All of my love is hers. My like, that changes, and that's normal. But love is hers. That's a get-to of we. Is that, and that is a real joy and peace in marriage, if the decision has been made. See, I was trusting my gut. Say, I pull back from the hurt. But when I thought about it, and I thought about where we were and what has happened, I made a vow. All my love belongs to her. It's hers, not mine. I can't pull back. It's not my decision to do. It's hers. We become one in the we. We become one by being united and where we place the I. We become one by investing all that we can for we. And we become one by serving the Lord together. Psalm 34:3 says, "Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." One of the greatest we moments is worshiping and serving God together. That is a joy of we. That is a get-to of we. And it is a binding time of we. So how can we all do this? What can we do to create we? You know, we all want to be there in marriage and relationship. We want to create we. How do we do that in practicality? Well, one, I want to introduce you to the 90-second revolution. I want to just for a moment put the context of one. We talked about they're no longer two, but they're one. But there's a word that comes after that that I've not really focused on, and I'm not going to focus on it long. But it says, we're no longer two, but we're one flesh. One flesh. And there's a lot that could be said about that. I'm not going to say that. But I'm going to say, take the 90-second revolution challenge. And that is this. We'll revolutionize your marriage to kiss for 90 seconds a day. It will. 90 seconds, 90-second investment, and it will change you. Now, you can split that up into 91-second kisses or 3 30-second kisses or 1 90-second kiss. It doesn't matter. One flesh. It will change you. It will change your marriage. It will bring we, because there's an emotional connection with a kiss. Another practical thing. Make their goals our goals. You know, sit down. You know, I'm a goal-oriented person. And so I often have a goal card. I have a goal list. I have a plan for the goals. I've always been a goal-oriented person. And one of the most powerful things that was really good for our marriage is one day, and we were married quite some time, when I said, "Honey, what are your goals? What are your goals?" And we went through, and I got to learn her goals, and I took her goals, and I wrote them on my goal card. And I made her goals my goals, and I made them our goals. Now, I just had a talk with one of my sons. I said, "This is one of my love languages. I want to help you achieve your goals. So they're your goals, make them, but I'm gonna help you achieve them, because I love that. That's part of who I am." Serve together. We talked about that with the text. Building a house together is a whole bunch of decisions. It's not serving together. And so when you have decisions, those opposite things tend to happen. That's fine and good, okay, but that's not serving together. Painting a room together, decisions have been made, but you're working together. That builds we. Serving the Lord together, that builds we. And then fourth, listen. Just listen. One of the things about me is that me tends to talk, and me tends to tends to want. I want this, I want that. But we listens. There's a difference there. We listen. And so, listen. Listen not just to the words, that's important, but listen to the emotions behind the words. Listen to the emotions behind the emotions. A lot of times, angry words, right behind the angry words is anger. And right behind the anger is hurt. And when we get to the hurt, we become we. Listen. I would really like a marriage GPS. That would be cool. You know, compliments are nice. Say something about her hair. That is all good, and we need that. But even better, focus on we. I promise our marriage will be about we, not about me. Now, we brought about this word covenant, and I did say that it's kind of rare that it's involved with marriage. As we look through the Bible, we see this word covenant a lot of different times. It's a covenant with God. Jesus is the new covenant. A new covenant because it's better. We are all sinners. God sent Jesus, who shed his blood, blood on a cross, and died and rose again. A blood covenant that we might become one. We who were two separate are now together. The very best thing that we can do for our marriages is invite Jesus into the center of it to be truly we. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this text from the words of Jesus himself to challenge us on marriage. And Lord, right now we ask you again to come into our home and into our marriage, into our heart, and be reflected in our marriages. Lord, we give you ourselves. We confess that we have sinned. We've fallen short. We pray for forgiveness and restoration. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.